It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Pastor Majuru, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
So today we're talking about conflict and spiritual growth. How can conflict and spiritual growth go together? Do they really go together? Can conflict serve as a catalyst for one's personal spiritual growth? Pastor Majuru?
Yes. Okay, thank you. Allow me also to thank you for giving me this privilege and opportunity to share one or two things pertaining to conflict. Today, it's an interesting lesson where we are looking at conflicts and the spiritual growth. Must be clear to all of us that conflicts takes a big toll on everyone involved. As long as we are part and parcel of that conflict, this must be taken serious, regardless of who is right or wrong.
Right.
Yes, we must understand that sin has also contributed for us to have such issues of conflict.
Right.
The tension of unresolved conflict build up until it impacts almost every area of our lives. Because of that, we are saying, since we are living in a fallen world, we must find means and ways how we grow spiritually. Because in terms of conflict, it also affects our spiritual life. In fact, conflict between fellow believers, when handled biblically, can be a priceless opportunity to strengthen our walk with the Lord. It can even help us to develop deeper fellowship with one another and build character.
Okay.
And now, according to your question, how can conflict serve as a catalyst for personal and spiritual growth? Number one, if we are carefree and follow all what we can by reading the Word of God, I'm sure conflict, when there is conflict, you and me, you agree today that it also promotes prayer, because conflict hates my brother. And when there is that conflict, we resolve to prayer, because we know that we can find answers from our God. When you have a conflict, a misunderstanding with one another, especially if they are a close friends or family, these wears out, and we look forward to resolve and have that better relationship. Holy Savory, when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we are to bless others. But then, conflict, it affects our mental and our emotional resources, leaving us half-empty tank, such that we are unable to do that which can help others. Sometimes you are helpless. Sometimes you can't say anything because conflict has really hit you. And in terms of spiritual growth, it becomes a problem. So I'm here to emphasize to all of us that prayer also helps us to press on to know Christ more deeply. When we read from the book of James chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible tells us that the more we draw near to God, the more he will draw near to us. The closer we are with God, the more we see his trustworthy and control in every situation, especially when we have the conflict. That's why 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it is also clear that we must be aware about this anxiety, and we must believe to God who cares for us. Let's believe in God. We pray and tell him about all our worries, and he promises us to give us peace, and the peace of God, which surpasses anything which can be a problem. That's why Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 is very clear, that let's bring our worries to God who takes care of us. So we are also saying, in terms of how can it help us in terms of spiritual growth, a conflict facilitate a deeper fellowship. When you resolve this conflict in a better or in a Christian way, there is that deeper fellowship where you are able now to understand one another, where you are able to value one another, where you approach every conflict in Christ-like manner. And it helps us. So in short, we are saying it is a catalyst to our spiritual growth, because it develops, if well handled, it develops compassion, that sympathy. It also brings an opportunity for peacemaking. It also helps us to build our character and bring the hope of the second coming, who is our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Give us biblical examples of individuals who grew spiritually through conflict.
Okay, thank you so much for that powerful question. Even before I give some example, allow me also to read from the book of Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. This is where we find the principle of how we resolve conflict.
No. I just want us to just go through, because we're going to run out of time, Pastor. Like, we've been running out of time. So we need to just get into those. Just give us those biblical examples of people who grew spiritually through conflict.
All right. Thank you, my leader. Because of time, allow me to talk about a few examples from the Bible. If you read Genesis chapter 13, verse 8 to 9, here we find Abraham and Lot. The Bible says, Abraham said to Lot, let's not allow this conflict to come between us or our headmen. Take your choice of any section of the land. So we learn from this story of Abraham and Lot in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 13, that solving conflicts take initiative. Someone must make the first move. Abraham gave Lot first choice, putting family peace above personal desire. So from the story of Abraham and Lot, when there is a conflict, one must have that step to make sure that things work out. And we must see to it that at the end of it, peace is more important than personal desires. Another story is in Genesis chapter 26.
Hold on, Pastor. Who grew there spiritually? In that story of Abraham and Lot having that conflict, I wouldn't call it a conflict, but I understand your perspective. Who grew spiritually in that conflict?
Abraham, because when you follow that story, my leader, you will find Lot, because of his selfishness, decided to choose the land which to him it was fertile and what. But you see, the end of Lot, he found himself in problem. But Lot, he followed the instruction of God where he chose. You see that Abraham was able even to be blessed more.
How did Abraham grow?
How
did Abraham grow in that situation, Pastor?
Abraham grew in this situation whereby he accepted the situation of conflict and allowed Lot to go his choice. But when you read the story, the end of the story, you'll find that in the life of Abraham, because he had that heart, God was able to bless him abundantly. And Abraham was able to remain faithful to God, and things went well. So in terms of spiritual life, as long as you remain on the side of God, as long as you're able to resolve situations, God will be on your side, and you even grow spiritually. Because
so
Abraham,
perhaps,
if you wanted,
perhaps I should ask my question in this fashion, Pastor. When you're saying Abraham grew in that situation, he grew from what to what spiritually? What is it that you're identifying as growth on the part of Abraham? Because where I'm standing, he was demonstrating maturity already. Not that he was growing because of it. I'm not quite sure I see conflict contributing to anything about Abraham. Quite frankly, when I look at the story, it demonstrates what Abraham already was. So I need you to help me understand, when you're saying Abraham is an example of a person who grew spiritually through conflict, tell me he grew from what to what. Show me this growth.
Okay. According to my own understanding, my leader, if Abraham wanted there, he was, Lot was the nephew, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
If Abraham wanted, he would have said, okay, I will be the number one to choose so that we can end this conflict. But he decided, to me, that was growing spiritually. He decided to let even the young one to choose first and get what he wants. And because of that, Abraham was able to find the favor from God and blessings from God. So to me, that was part and parcel. You know, growing spiritually, it's not about just to see. It's also how you handle situation, to me, in terms of Christian. Even if when you are a leader, if the opportunity has been given that you can use this authority as a leader, But you humble yourself. To me, that outcome of Abraham telling Lot to choose.
Let's perhaps define growth, Pastor. The idea of growth is when something is, for example, in terms of size, it is 1 meter high. When it grows, it becomes 2 meters high. So you can see the difference between the first part and the second part. That's growth. So it has grown a meter high. A person is 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 50 years. You see the growth. You're able to measure the growth by years. Here in Abraham's example that you've given us, how do you measure growth? Because again, growth should be demonstrable. We must be able to see what he was and what he grew to become. Tell me what Abraham was, and after this quote-unquote conflict, he grew to become.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe I may also ask you a question. What tangible things can we see that one is growing spiritually?
It depends on the very situation, Munis. I'll give you an example to answer your question. If I was a liar, growing spiritually means I stop lying. So once you are able to see something that I was and what I am now, that's growing. And growing means a positive change. Not any kind of change, but a positive change. That's what we imply or what we're referring to when we're talking about growing. We know that when we are talking about growth, it is something that is smaller or younger, to become something bigger or older. So there is a development in measures, whether you're measuring in terms of size or quantity of years, or it doesn't really matter. But there must be some. Mm-hmm. If you're saying you're growing your finances, you move from having $5 to $50. There must be a measurable displacement from the original to the present. So I'm asking again, when you're saying Abraham grew, from what? What was he before the conflict that he grew from and became differently and better after the conflict?
Okay. Maybe in this angle for me, I was looking at resolving conflicts, because there was a conflict. Now, these were personal issues, because according to me, my analysis, Loti also wanted to see that his animals and everything is also safe. And Abraham, by nature, also his growth and his wealth wanted to be safe. But there was that conflict in terms of land. How do they keep their wealth? So to me, Abraham showed a spiritual growth in terms of maturity by allowing Lot to go the other way and not to continue with those personal desires or personal conflicts. To me, it's, even if we can't measure to say it's one now, two, but just that spiritual and also outcome, the maturity in terms of spiritual, to me, it's a growth.
Okay. All right. Let's move on, Mpundis. Let's talk about forgiveness and reconciliation in conflicts. How do those lead to a deeper understanding of God's grace?
Okay. We are now on forgiveness, isn't it?
Forgiveness.
Okay. Once we allow forgiveness and reconciliation in our life, one of the things which helps us, it shifts that mindset and transform things which are harmful and remove that attitude which can bring harm among us. Once you allow forgiveness, there is that healing. It also builds bridges between opposing parties, because when you forgive and reconcile, that part of saying, me, I'll go this way, the other one, I'll go this way, there is that reconciliation of coming together, and it brings that growth in terms of relationship. It also helps break the cycle of violence. Once we allow forgiveness and reconciliation, the results are better for us, because even the end of the violence can come to an end. It also builds a more peaceful common future. When you have that reconciliation and forgiveness, we expect a sustainable peace environment and things to work out. Forgiveness also can contribute to a foundation for dowry. Once you forgive, you're able to sit down and be able to dialogue and be able to see the way forward, which will bring reconciliation. Once you allow forgiveness and reconciliation, it also releases that bitterness and the anger. And when that bitterness and anger removes because of forgiveness, you are able to sit around the table and be able to make sure that things are able to work well.
Final question, Mfundisi. What are some practical steps you could recommend for us to approach conflicts with a mindset that is geared towards spiritual growth?
All right. First and foremost, I may recommend that as a Christian or as a human being, we need to understand, in terms of resolving conflict, we must understand the basic source of conflict. This will help us in our approach to resolve the conflict. If we resolve this conflict, we must be ready also be able to speak out of the truth and not to lie. These are the steps which can help us to resolve. Because when you are resolving a conflict and you start lying, it is just a short of time to resurface again. So,
yes.
My recommendation is that we try by all means to say the truth so that when we resolve those conflicts,
yes,
then it is resolved for eternity. We also need to understand as we resolve the conflict that we must be careful with our anger, and we must be able to handle it properly, because most of the times we fail to resolve conflict because of anger. We also must be able to develop a generous spirit. Let's know if there is a problem. The problem is there, but let's have that generous spirit to forgive one another, to know that we are brothers and sisters, to know that we can still resolve these things and move.
Right.
We must also develop to speak constructive and not demeaning and destructive. We must show kindness and forgiveness. These are the practical examples which can help us to resolve some challenges and problems.
Lovely. That's beautiful. I love that one about speaking the truth. You're absolutely correct, Mfundisi. You're absolutely correct. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much for your time and your insights, Mfundisi. Tomorrow we'll do our final start here on our feature, A Daily Focus. Have a wonderful day further.
Thank you, my leader, and I wish you well and God's blessings.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.